Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name's Joe Kuzma, and I'm here today with a little bit more of a short format episode for all of you that are out there tuning in wherever it may be. Welcome back, and if you happen to be new to this program, well, welcome. Glad to have you here. Cut to the chase, since I don't have my colleague here to do all the small talk, but there's so much small talk going on right now all over the internet. I had to clear up some garbage. I wanted to get ahead of it, even though I thought I wasn't going to actually preview this final preseason game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Carolina Panthers. B teams, C teams, D teams, they may be all the way down as the Steelers, they've cut down to 80 players on the roster. And I think since I last talked to some of you folks out there, Antoine Brooks, we were debating the whole nickel corner kind of discussion that's going on, and Cam Sutton kind of filling out there in the last game against the Lions. Brooks, I saw him several times at training camp icing. I believe it was a hamstring. It looked like the hamstring. I think it was his left leg, but waived with an injury designation, clears waivers. There is speculation that he may return to the Steelers, boomeranging back around. Kind of an odd move if they still wanted to kind of hold on to him. So we're all kind of in speculation as to what's going on here. And obviously we were debating as to whether or not he would have enough time to get on the field and do some stuff. And now it doesn't look like he will be. So interesting kind of development there with the Steelers, considering that they gave him the first team reps to in their search to replace Mike Hilton. So that's where we've been this offseason. It may just end up being Cam Sutton, the guy that they chose and re-signed back. They had no cap money. Then all of a sudden, David DeCastro is gone. Vince Williams is gone. All these different developments. And they're able to squeeze out a few solid players. There may still be an addition coming, because we know old Mother Hubbard's cupboards are somewhat bare in that defensive backfield as far as depth, provided that they just don't keep Joe Schobert and Devin Bush on the field all the time, et cetera, et cetera. There's some things that they're going to have to iron out. It may even be something that we end up seeing more of on Friday, as opposed to what we would normally see in what's the final preseason game. It's almost like an annual tradition now, playing the Carolina Panthers, usually in Carolina. We'll see if it rains there. There's been some nasty weather there over the years, as I recall as well. And there's lots of nasty comments to go along with some of this stuff. So Antoine Brooks was kind of an interesting topic. And all of a sudden, people are now kind of like poo-pooing all over Cam Sutton. Stop doing that. I think he's a fine player, and we're going to find out more about him this season and his playmaking ability. I think the Steelers' defense is still fine. It's always about depth. You can't have an all-star team as your backups. And that goes all the way from the quarterbacks, which, yes, I'm going to talk about the quarterbacks one more time because it's just driving me bonkers. Running back as well, we kind of touched on that. We're finding out that Benny Snell, he's going to finally get some reps in this final game. Does that mean his job is or isn't on the line? I'm going to say his job is not on the line. I know people think I'm absolutely crazy for saying this. The Steelers may even keep four running backs. It all depends, especially looking at the way this is shaping up with the DBs. And Trey Norwood looks like maybe he's ascending into the into a safety role there too. We were talking about that. So that may be another spot where there's some fluctuation. It may allow to have Benny Snell on the field. So Benny Snell football, you know, we'll see what that's going to look like. Does he have to wow or impress? I don't know. I think he just needs some reps in a real game situation. And there's even speculation from some of the sports writers, some of the media out there that say he's still the primary option at backup for the Steelers. I do find that kind of surprising. I think a lot of people are thinking Kalen Ballage, hey, he's a veteran. They brought him in here. But again, Kalen Ballage, he's just, I don't have anything against Kalen Ballage. Again, it's just, it's a matter of business. It's a matter of numbers. They're only going to keep so many spots. They're only going to keep so many players. And that's where a lot of my kind of sense for what the Steelers might do. That's where it's coming from. I mean, he played for the Dolphins. He played for the Jets. These weren't great teams. Maybe that reflected on his play, but a stronger player you would think would ascend above that. He was with the Chargers the Chargers and the Jets last season. His first 2 years in the league with Miami. And overall, I mean, Miami averaged 5.3 yards per carry in 2018. Didn't have a whole lot of rushes, though. 36 for 191, 74 for 135 the following year, but 1.8 average. I mean, nobody could get anything really going in that Dolphins backfield. What a dumpster fire year as they're continued to rebuild this roster. And then with the Jets, he only had, 3 carries for 13 yards. The Chargers, he got a little more work, 88 for 293 touchdowns. And then also 20 receptions for 99 yards. So maybe career resurgence. Maybe he finds the Steelers see something. Just makes me wonder, like, if the Steelers were looking at this prior because he was available. He was available last year, bounced between two different teams, right? And I just look at the business of football. I look at how they could expand the rosters on game days from 53 to 55, and I think somebody's going to end up on the practice squad. There's always a running back or two that's always there. There's always a couple wide receivers. One thing I can tell you that won't be a practice squad issue, punter. There's someone out there that wrote this huge long thing about a punting battle and who could win the job on Friday against the Panthers. I think the job is settled. The reason Jordan Berry hasn't been cut, people were like, oh, he'll be cut the first round of cuts, second round of cuts. Yeah, he's going to get released. I still think this is kind of a real trade situation the same way there was with Brad Wing. Cheaper contract for Presley Harvin III, PH3. You hear that, Brian? That's what people refer to him as, is PH3, not triple P or BPFP or whatever it was that we were tossing around. We'll have to figure this one out. But punting battle, I don't think there's a battle. Quarterbacks, the battle there. This is the one I wanted to get ahead of. So Ben Roethlisberger sitting, as are very many veterans, and even a rookie in Najee Harris. I got to get used to saying this properly. Najee Harris, per Mike Tomlin, said plans changed. He's not going to be playing Friday. They probably want to keep him healthy. There's now a 17-game schedule out there. So that means quite a few people aren't going to be available. And Mason Rudolph happens to be the other one, as you see, sporting the jersey. Yeah, I always have to – I've got to support the brand in many other ways. I'm going to get a Haskins jersey eventually here too. Trust me. I love backup quarterbacks. Those of you who followed this show since its inception know that somebody placed a cruel trick on me, but there was some type of bet or something else that played out, and I ended up with a Landry Jones jersey from very many years ago. So I'm not anti-backup quarterbacks because I understand where they're coming from and what they need to do. And when you look at the numbers that Rudolph and Haskins have put up this preseason and or in their regular season play, they're very similar in very many ways. Some of them have an edge versus the others. And I also compiled some other numbers for you folks based on all of the drives that these players have had in the preseason, that being Haskins and Rudolph. So Rudolph sitting doesn't mean I think that Haskins is going to ascend to the backup quarterback position. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, you may have seen some back and forth with one of my friends and colleagues out there, Jim Wexel, who is part of 247sports.com, the Pittsburgh Variety. And Jim believes that there's still an open battle, and I trust Jim's opinion immensely. I respect Jim. He's been doing this for 25, 30 years. He's around everybody all the time. If he says something like this, I tend to bend my ear and listen. So I've got to see if what Jim's saying comes to fruition here. He says a strong outing by Haskins means he could overtake the backup quarterback position, but I never once really heard the Steelers mention that this was an open battle. You hear this around other camps all throughout the NFL. And I don't necessarily think that they think that Rudolph did a bad job. So why is Rudolph sitting for this game? Could be any number of reasons. Will they make the trip? You've got all of the COVID protocols and things. We're seeing it happen all over the league now. Buffalo wide receivers, Cam Newton, this, that, and the other thing. It's going to play havoc with hopefully not scheduling anymore. the Tennessee Titans popped up on there again, and I just have nightmares of that happening last year with the Steelers getting their whole calendar upended. But it's going to play with some depth charts, going to play with playing time and things like that. I believe that they don't want to see Mason get hurt either. I also think they feel that maybe Haskins needs more reps. There was a comment by Kevin Colbert, the Steelers general manager, several months ago, maybe not even several, but it was somewhere during this offseason process, maybe even leading into training camp, that talked about Haskins being raw, Haskins coming out of college too quick, as you know, like a one-year starter at Ohio State. Can't blame him for that. He becomes a first-round draft pick. Get paid, right? But then almost like out of the league. Nobody wanted him, and then the Steelers end up picking him up after the fact, after the season's over. Adam, somebody said that's because they don't trust Mason Rudolph. I said, I don't think that's necessarily true. We just know from all – we know from the Dan Marino experience and him not coming to Pittsburgh from Pitt, being drafted by the Steelers and replacing Terry Bradshaw, how that was painful for a very long period of time, from your Mark Malone to Bubby Brister to who else? So we mentioned him all the time. Like Kent Graham was signed for like a record contract way back when. It was like 3 years for $15 million or something that's like so insignificant now when it comes to money. And Cordell Stewart. But even with the backup quarterbacks, a lot of people love Charlie Batch. Charlie Batch was a hard guy to get rid of. Didn't necessarily always have the greatest outings. Didn't throw the ball more than 20 times. Had a great defense. Had a solid running game usually to hand off to. He had like one or two, maybe three big games. One big start against Tampa. He had some relief duty, I want to say, against the Packers. He won a game, led a game-winning drive. It was still a field goal, but still got the Steelers in position against the Baltimore Ravens many years ago on the road. We have very fond memories of that, but there were times where the Steelers were still adding quarterbacks. Byron Leftwich, twice. Byron came and gone and then came back again. Dennis Dixon. And then eventually Bruce Gradkowski, Landry Jones. So they still bring people in. Zach Mettenberger, Paxton Lynch. They're still kicked the tires on some of these players to see what they might be able to offer, especially at QB3 position. The guys aren't active on game days. They're not getting a helmet. Very seldom will a third quarterback ever get into games. So there's no reason to ever really have them active on game days as part of the active players. So you have your inactives, usually like a lineman, the third tight end. There's players like that, right? And the quarterback is always in that position. And a lot of people say, well, you always saw Josh Dobbs. He's sitting there. Yeah, I think Josh Dobbs is incredibly intelligent. I think he may be more of a player coach than player. And so I don't think that this is necessarily Josh fighting to get his position here. I think his position and role was always known. I do think there may be space for him on an expanded practice squad with the same rules as last year to work with the scout team and to help in the quarterback room, to help with film and everything that goes into practice and putting together your game plans. Absolutely. Bright, intelligent guy with some experience. He's going to be there, but you're not going to have him leapfrog either Rudolph or Haskins. These guys, I don't even want to say QB2, QB3, but I would pretty much assume at this point, somebody said, what makes it so obvious that Rudolph is the guy? Well, he's got the contract for next year. They still have the contractual rights for Dwayne Haskins. I just see that there's somebody that's played with this team and has been a starter with the Steelers, and Haskins hasn't been that guy yet. I also, like I said, Colbert mentioning that he's raw, needs to develop. This year's kind of like redshirt freshman year for Dwayne Haskins with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the way I've always felt about it. I've never felt that he would be cut or released unless he didn't learn some lessons and did something boneheaded. And I really don't know what the axe was to grind in Washington. Some people say, well, it wasn't the coach's pick. Well, then that coach got fired anyways, and they bring in Ron Rivera, and that wasn't his pick either. So there was obviously something that went on there, or they had buyer's remorse. I don't know the story. I don't care about the story because he's now with the Steelers, and that's what I do care about. And you have two bright futures, two young men that could end up being solid quarterbacks. You're never going to replace Ben Roethlisberger. Let's get that out of the way. Ben is a future Hall of Famer. Ben has done things that other players in the NFL haven't done, and there are other players in the NFL who have done things that Ben hasn't done. But for anybody to come in and fill those big shoes, whew, man, don't put me there. So you've heard me spill out these numbers before. These are some repeats, but Mason Rudolph, has played fewer snaps to Dwayne Haskins through three games. In fact, he played about half as many until last Saturday's Lions game. 67 snaps to Haskins, 88. These guys are both completing a heavy percentage of their passes. However, Rudolph has completed 75, which is crazy to think because there's still some drops. It could be as high as 80 here. 27 of 36. You got Haskins at 28 of 42, which is also great. That's good. 66.7. For a backup quarterback to even do 60, for a starting quarterback to even get 60% or better, great. I understand the competition they're against. Rudolph has actually thrown the longest passes in these games so far, at least the first two. I forgot to look at the last game. I apologize. It's one I didn't pull. I'm just assuming that one of those passes was a little bit longer. I could be wrong. That's just based on the way the drives ended up too here. So you have 299 yards for Rudolph, 271 for Haskins. Haskins has one touchdown pass. Rudolph has zero. Neither of these guys have any interceptions. Rudolph has more yards per attempt, 8.3 to 6.5. They've both taken a sack. Rudolph with the higher QB rating, 99.2 to 92.5, despite not having the touchdown pass. It's kind of interesting because Rudolph has had only 9 drives this entire preseason, whereas Haskins has had 13. Now, I mentioned the snaps played. There's penalties and things to factor into this, too. So there's actually 68 plays total for the drives that Rudolph has had and 90 for Haskins. I know it seems a little confusing, but this comes out of the game books directly. So just reporting the figures as they are. Haskins had 5 drives in the Hall of Fame game, 5 plays, 16 yards with a punt. I don't know that I need to go through all these. You had a few of them that ended the half. He's ended the half and ended the game on all three of these games and even spilled into the third quarter here. So 5 drives, Hall of Fame game, one of them with the touchdown, one with the field goal, and 2 punts. And in fact, overall, 3 punts and then 2 end of half, 1 end of game. So 3 end of period type scenarios, either halftime or end of the game, 3 punts. Rudolph's drives out of the 90s had 4 punts. Okay. I think we forget, too, Rudolph had a drive, very first drive in the preseason, 6 plays, 23 yards with the fumbled exchange with Chase Claypool. There was a punt, and then there was a missed field goal by Sam Sloman, and everybody thought it was Chris Boswell, and they're saying, get rid of this bum. See how dumb some of these things are. The second preseason game, technically week 1, with Rudolph, another 3 drives, 7 for 41, 5 for 44, and a 3 for the minus 2 where he got absolutely buried because the offensive line just got manhandled on third down there. All 3 were punts. All 3 of those drives had something that happened, particularly the first two. We had offensive holding, false starts, another holding. I think there was a hold on Freiermuth, a false start on Chooks, and then a hold on Trey Turner. And then, of course, the line folded and collapsed. This is where Haskins shined differently when he came in. 9 plays, 65. Well, his first one was a 3 and out. 3 for 3 yards with a punt. So that was the last time that one of his drives punted. He went 9 plays, 65 yards, touchdown. That was Kalen Ballage. I think that put the period on that sentence. End of half. 2 other touchdown drives, 10 for 60, 11 for 50. Those go into the third quarter, okay? Again, the competition you're up against, too, or the players you're playing with, he's still getting it done with some of the third-string guys, but also against some third-string guys. Some of the passes that we've seen, like I said, the touchdown pass, free play, offsides from the defense. Defense is completely lost. They leave Anthony Johnson completely wide open. You've had Haskins run a play in the complete wrong direction, too. You can't forget that. So as everyone gets beefed up over, you know, hey, he's had all of these different touchdown drives, or Mason hasn't been able to do any of this stuff, we go into, of course, after he has these touchdowns. And again, he plays the ball very safe. I'm cool with that. I'm cool with the Anthony Johnson touchdown. He finds Rico Bussey for a really nice pass. Bussey gets open pretty well, too. We're going to see if he makes the practice squad. But after these touchdown drives, just the 1 field goal, 14 plays, 76 yards, and that's it. And then he gets 2 drives as opposed to 3 and last week's game where Ben just ate everyone alive, but Rudolph led three scoring drives, understanding getting the end zone. Juju Smith-Schuster with the one drop that may have been a touchdown there. You're going to have some of that. Haskins, of course, had two drives of his own. All of these were field goals. Three field goal drives for Rudolph, two for Haskins. The other one with Haskins was just finishing out the game and then kneeling on the field in the victory formation to close it out. I think it's just kind of interesting to see, though, even though there have been 13 drives for Dwayne Haskins, 417 yards, Rudolph has put up the drives, nine of them for 358. So he still gets everything moving, and Dwayne a little bit sometimes, maybe a beneficiary of the short field, the one drive in the Hall of Fame game, five plays, 33 yards, most certainly. That was one that was just handed to him. Rudolph has had, in that last game, drives of 10, 14, and 10. Haskins has had some of them here, 9, 9, 10, 11, 14, 12. What am I getting at? What are you saying, Joe? I talked about these guys. I talked about their regular season statistics also. And I think that they're just really evenly matched. And I don't feel necessarily that the Steelers are going to jump the gun, make this big a deal, maybe even shoot or wreck the confidence of who's going to probably be the guy they slated as their primary backup. I don't know that Rudolph, someone's saying trade bait. If he's worth value to another team, why wouldn't he be worth value to the Steelers as a backup? Again, we're talking about backups. I just want to be clear here. I'm not talking about the next Ben Roethlisberger, the next Hall of Fame gold jacket going to a Steelers player. Maybe just somebody that's an effective QB until maybe that next guy comes. Maybe they finally fail. I mean, Cordell Stewart, he was so hot and cold so many times. You thought sometimes he was going to punch his ticket to Canton, and then, you know, maybe he fails in a big game. Then there's things like that to happen. Regular season-wise, Mason Rudolph has had nine starts. He's had fewer attempts than Dwayne Haskins, who's had 13 starts in the NFL. And when I put Dwayne's 444 pass attempts to Mason Rudolph's 326, that's 118 more attempts. That's about three games worth of pass. That's a lot of passing. Both of these guys are completing over 60%. Against real competition in a regular season. Rudolph is at 61.7. Haskins is slightly over 60.1. He's just over the mark. Rudolph has actually thrown for more touchdowns and fewer interceptions in the regular season. 15 touchdowns and 10 interceptions to Dwayne Haskins, 12 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. They're a half yard off in their average yards per attempt, 5.9 to 5.4. The striking one here, though, is in nine of those games, Mason Rudolph has taken 16 sacks, whereas Dwayne Haskins has taken 49. Holy cow. So maybe, I don't know. He's just not reading the defenses right. Was that part of Washington? Maybe he matures more. Maybe that development comes. These are all the things I want you to consider as you're saying, well, this guy's a bum, get rid of him. On either side, I've seen people say that about Rudolph. I've seen people say that about Haskins. And then I look at you and say, why? Keep them both. No, it's not costing you anything this year. Probably not going to cost you a whole lot next year. $5 million for a quarterback as a backup. If you've seen what Chase Daniel and some of these other guys make, Colt McCoy, maybe not this year, but like the year before, I forgot the deal. He ain't 3 years, whatever. He was making that or more per year on average with guaranteed money. These guys are way after runs here when it comes to being a starting NFL quarterback. We still don't know if Ben's going to play next year. So basically, heading into this game, there's the only things you really need to be looking at is as long as Dwayne doesn't fail, we're good. If he lights everything on fire, it's going to get us all excited, and that's probably the last we're going to hear about him or Mason Rudolph for a while. And I don't know that it necessarily ascends them. In my opinion, my gut feeling is the Steelers, they're kind of stuck in their ways. They're lucky. Both of these guys are lucky. They're on a team that keeps three quarterbacks on their roster. Josh Dobbs, also valued. Should be lucky that they're at least thinking of keeping a guy on the practice squad too. They did that with Duck Hodges. And Duck Hodges is actually somebody who made Josh Dobbs expendable a couple of years ago too, if you remember when Dobbs was traded to Jacksonville. So, and just summation, I don't think this is like a decision where they're like, hey, we're giving Dwayne the start to see if he can win the backup quarterback position. I don't find that as the necessary reasoning. I just think we're about to go into the regular season and make cuts, and anybody other than Ben Roethlisberger is just not going to see very many snaps on the practice field going forward for 17, 18 weeks now. So, folks, enjoy the game Friday, what you can of it. This may be the last time you see roughly, what do we got, 80 to 53 is what kind of cut. 27 players. If we get the practice squad, expanded practice squad rules have been floated around with the NFL. If that's the way it's going to be, I believe the number was 16. So you may see some of these players returning. You may see some floating around from other teams. And depending on what goes on with the further, Antoine Brooks, could he be back? Could he be on IR? Could he be somebody to have future plans for? Are they completely done with them? Maybe the Steelers make some more moves. I think that's also going to be dependent on what some of these young men do in Carolina, at Charlotte, Friday night. And I guess we're just going to look and evaluate, and hopefully we have some good things to look at, because this final preseason game, it could usually be rather ugly. And I do believe that right now, with the four quarterbacks on the roster, you've not really had a lot of ugly preseason football for the first time in a long time in memory. The last few years has kind of been that way, even with Duck Hodges. But I remember like a Dustin Vaughn, and there were quarterbacks that were there for camp that never even got on the field. I mean, that's, you know, pretty telling when it comes to what the organization thinks with them, with their future plans. So I won't belabor this any longer. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting the product at SteelCityUnderground.com and the Steel City Underground podcast. My name's Joe Kuzma. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And until next time, as I encourage everyone out there, always to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.SteelCityUnderground.com.